Hello and welcome to Zero Hour with our hosts Hugh Joyce and Tim Bowring. Today's show is an ongoing series that explores Hanover's and the surrounding Metro Richmond area's thriving art scene and the people who make it happen. Every Wednesday at 12:30, we sit down with one of these folks. Conversation is lively and spontaneous, so pull up a chair and meet some fascinating people. Hello and welcome to Zero Hour. This is Tim Bowring. I'm here today with my co-host Hugh Joyce and with Hope Ginsburg, who brings an interesting, actually fascinating approach to making the arts. Would you say it would be fair to say that you are outside the studio mostly?
I'm in and out.
You're in and out.
Have sort of organized themselves around this traditional craft practice of making felt. So yeah. For that, I go into the studio, and to find people and subject matter, I hang out outside the studio.
Let me get this straight. You're making felt?
I find that a very
interesting process. I think that's very, very neat. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm very attached to the material. It does a kind of, when the wool gets wet and it smells like a sheep and that gets hit with this soap that I use, it's some kind of
thing going on there.
Therapeutic.
I think it's a past life thing.
Haptic something. As a shepherd?
Yeah, or maybe.
That's probably
maybe
it.
Or maybe as a sheep, is one or the other.
Thank you.
She was a sheep.
Right. One of the things I want to try and squeeze in here is that I found fascinating when I first met you a few years back was, you have a BFA in sculpture from Tyler School of the Arts and a Master's of Science in Visual Studies from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, better known as MIT. You don't normally think of artists turning to MIT. So tell us a little bit about that adventure.
There's sort of like a little known history of that through this phenomenon called the Center for Advanced Visual Studies, which was started many decades ago by an artist named Georgie Kepisch. And that was this sort of project that brought artists and technologists together to do projects. But my program was housed in the School of Architecture and Urban Planning, and at the time I attended, it was called the Visual Arts Program. It's since merged with the Center for Advanced Visual Studies that I mentioned, and now it's this program called ACT, which is Art, Culture, and Technology. But it was a studio program that had sort of academics on steroids worked through it. And it was the best fly on the wall experience I've ever had, just seeing the way that place operated. It was just really expansive and a cool place to be.
So fast forward.
A long time now.
Yeah. I was looking at the dates thinking, wow, where's the time gone? But fast forward, you were talking about a project that you have worked on and between you and I think you said students in Brazil. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, they were some students from Richmond. Mm-hmm. And then it was a project for a biennial called the Mercosul Biennial, which is in the southernmost state of Brazil, for Grande do Sul. And I was invited to make a project for this biennial, and I proposed working with artists and designers in Porto Alegre and students through this project that I do in Richmond called Sponge Headquarters to sort of come together and as a group hand make physical representations of four different species of Brazilian sponge to
sponge as in the sea.
Sponge as in the animal. And and sea, that's what's so interesting is that sea would be what I always thought, like, oh, these sea creatures. But actually, on one of my research trips, I met a woman whose name is Dr. Cecilia Folkmer-Ribeiro, who, while a sophomore in undergraduate school, she's now in her, I'll keep her privacy, but, you know, she's undergraduate school, was in the early 60s
early
for
60s,
her.
Early 60s, okay.
And
so it's just the other day.
She discovered and named a genus of freshwater sponge in a river in that state. And so she has spent her career as a marine biologist sort of championing this unsung variety of sponge that's freshwater, not sea sponge, not marine. And so we made these four species of sponge, two of which were marine, which are these sort of flamboyant, kind of sexy saltwater sponges from the north of the country, closer to...
You made sponge?
Well, we made them from wool.
Ah.
You know, made these representations and...
Felt.
So this is sculptural work in this three-dimensional... sculptural pieces of the sponges.
This piece was properly sculptural. I do projects that are very time-based and workshop-based, and they're live and they're participatory, and that's that. But this was really an opportunity to make a sculptural installation, something where there would be these very dynamic, very social workshops where we would all come together to make these felt sponges, but that the work would then exist properly installed in two brick recessed tanks in a former thermoelectric plant on a lagoon in the city of Porto Alegre. And then I left and the sponges were on view. And
how big were the sponges?
Oh gosh, I mean dimensions, right? I
assume they weren't these little things, right?
Well, some of them were. There were four species, and the biggest pieces, which were, you know, I want to say somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 by 6 feet, something like that. Mm-hmm. But flat, those were the encrusting river sponges. So the species that I was making that Dr. Ribeiro discovered in the 60s is this encrusting sort of bright green river sponge that she actually informally called, you know, 50 years ago, the felt of the sea. Felt. So it's kind of wild. So we made these big flat pieces in the dimensions that I mentioned. And then they were, because of the nature of the material, they could take the shape of the bricks in these quote tanks.
All right.
And just sort of be molded to exist on the floor of these recessed spaces as they had encrusted there. The basket sponges that I made, or barrel sponges, I should say, were maybe like the height of this desk. So I think to say a desk, people know, you know, maybe
32 inches.
Wide. And then I made these smaller sort of palm-sized pink sponges that were the Tatilla radiata sponges. And they were, as I said, palm-sized, but that was actually sort of like jumbo versions of what they're actually like in nature, which could be, you know,
tiny.
Tiny. So anyway, they varied, ranged in sizes, and the colors were all achieved. So this was another student component, is that I had a former student named Jessica Dodd who went through the sculpture program at VCU, and she's since become an expert in natural dyeing. And so she came, and we kind of, through the generosity of the craft department at VCU, just sort of moved into the dye lab last summer and mordanted and dyed 40 pounds of wool to make these sponges.
You did what to the wool?
We mordanted it, which was basically boiling it in potassium alum, which is a...
Is that what turns it into felt?
That's what makes the fibers spongy. That's what makes the fibers, the dye really adhere to the fibers.
Okay.
So it's part of the dyeing process. And then we used plant-based and insect-based pigments to get all the colors. So I learned a lot about natural dyeing from my former student. And that dynamic of sort of flip-flopping between experts and learners is really an integral part of this sponge project.
How do you get people in how do I say this? How do you sell someone on other than your energy level, which is wonderful? We're gonna get together and we're gonna make sponges, right? And how do you get
everybody want to get together and make sponges?
That's what I mean. That's exactly what, you know.
God, I'm looking at them here on the computer and they look pretty daggone cool.
Do you see the green ones, the Onchosclera?
I see the flat ones.
Oh, good.
So do you think it's the visual attraction that
I think people are? I think. Yeah, those are they. I think that at least insofar as the felt part of the process, when I'm working in that medium, people are really curious about felt. Like it's kind of a magical material. I mean, magical is kind of not a very specific word, but the way these fibers sort of randomly interconnect and form this incredibly...
I like magical. Yeah. I think it's a good word. And magical. I think felt is very cool. And I didn't really have an appreciation for it till I actually saw some work that someone had done out at a Sperryville gallery, and there was a lady in there working in felt, and she was making it, and it's really cool. I mean, she was making it, she was doing abstract colors and patterns, and it was really, really interested me.
Yeah, I think people, I mean, the prospect, I mean, in that sense, just as it gets to material, as I think about it, it's sort of maybe like coming together to cook a meal.
Right.
People get excited about the sort of social aspect of it, the fact that you work hard, it's physical, it stimulates your sense of touch, your sense of smell, you get stiff muscles, you know, I mean, it's like you have this experience of connection with material and other people, and I think that's
not to mention
maybe
the whole
not
dying.
Happening so often.
What about these shoes I see here, the images? Now, are you in production on these?
I see
felt shoes.
I am not in production on those shoes.
Did you make these shoes, Megan?
I did make those shoes.
I like
those
shoes.
Thank you.
I have a
they
pair.
They remind me of, what's the German company that makes the real comfortable clogs that are in felt?
Oh, Birkenstocks. Yeah, it says it on my shoe.
Okay, and at Birkenstock, but there's another company that makes them too. I see the Birkenstock, but that's very
Crocs.
Cool. No, these ain't Crocs.
I'm kidding.
So let's switch around.
Know.
Do you have a gallery that you work with in Richmond?
I do not have a gallery that I work with in Richmond. Although I am fond of many galleries in Richmond.
Are you represented anywhere?
I do not have commercial representation.
That's cool. Okay, so freelance, free agent. And
I think that part of something that's threaded through the work has been a kind of the way the work relates to the marketplace is somehow embedded in it. That's not to say it's deliberately shied away from that, but sometimes it seems that projects that are, you know, sort of privileging that have privileged the social privilege, the exchange of knowledge, this sort of thing, have not found a fit in the marketplace, and that's always been very interesting to me. But you know, I'm very curious.
So you're not worried about selling the product; you just like making it and displaying it, and if you can sell it, that's great. But that's not your primary motivation.
If I can sell it, that's great. I'm sort of interested, like those boots and mittens and the boots that you brought up. They're really interesting in terms of the marketplace. They sort of fall through a magical crack because
I think that if those were produced, and you know, Tim, how I see things, and I think. There could be an opportunity here. I think if you were making those, people go cuckoo over those.
They've been in the marketplace, you know, but they're funny. They're almost like a case study because they do a thing where they take, I mean, I don't want to get into a whole labor marketplace discussion that's out of my depth, although it's interesting. I mean, those do a thing where in terms of the hours that they take to hand make, they're priced out of like slippers. In terms of a sculpture, they are an object with such a clear use value, it confuses the read as sculpture. You know, they do some funny craft design thing there. I mean, you can sell those shoes. My hat will be off to you.
Now, what are you working on now? What kind of projects? So we got the sponge project from last year out of Brazil, which is very cool. By the way, that picture of the sponge in the water was neat.
That was this very cool outcome is that the scientists that I worked with were so sort of jazzed to see their unsung heroes in this biennial that they were generous enough to gather some of their own students and take me like hours off road to this river in the northeast of the state. And we just like walked into the river and saw the sponges and it was pretty magical.
And that's all, by the way, if the listeners were talking with Hope Ginsburg, artist, professor,
sponge enthusiast, terrible salesperson,
MIT graduate. But her website is Hope, Hope Ginsburg, Ginsburg.com. And a lot of the images are on there that we were just talking about.
Dear listeners, have a look.
Go to her website, and she's not represented by a gallery, so we can't send you to a gallery, but you can certainly reach out and talk to her on the website.
Tomorrow I'll be going to work. Hugh will be going to work.
That's right.
You, on the other hand, will be headed where?
Oh, well, actually, first I'm going to visit my parents in Boca Raton.
Ah, can't miss that. My dad used to live there.
That'll be very, very great. Very
nice to hang out in Boca.
See Carol and Marv in Boca.
See the parents in Boca.
So 3 nights with Carol and Marv in Boca, and then they're going to drop me off on the other side of the state on Captiva Island for a residency at the Rauschenberg Foundation. And this is the...
Which is where his home was.
Yeah. Right. It's actually his former home studio, and I understand you know, the studio buildings are on the property and several places to live and work. And I am just can't wait to get down there and see this place.
So let me ask you a question.
How long and how many people are going to be down there with you?
There are, I think there's somewhere between about 6 and 10 other artists. One of whom is my new husband who will be there for the second half of it.
Well, that's nice that, you know.
His name is Joshua Quarles and he's going to work on a digital composition while he's there. But it's a small group of artists and this is the second year that this has happened.
Yeah, this is new, right?
My colleague at VCU, Stephen Vitello, did the pilot year last year.
Did he? With sound?
And I think that Rauschenberg had the collection of hydrophones. And anyway, Stephen, by all reports, it's a fantastic place.
What do you plan to do? Is that anything to do with?
Are
you going off?
I would like to go under. I have this fantasy of doing some diving.
Yeah.
So the sponges, you know, called to me for so many years in a row. I finally got certified as an open water diver so that I could finally go see them.
Yeah.
And so I would like to do some diving in the Gulf and move. So you asked me what was coming next. I feel sort of eager to move out of this very haptic, you know, material practice of making felt into some image making, some video, and would like to shoot some underwater footage.
Yes.
And so I think that I am going to work towards a video project. And
but independent
a video project. Are you going to couple that with some
boots?
more sponges. So I think the sponges are really cool.
I would love to. I mean, I think there's the possibility of perhaps renting a car and going to Key West and doing some diving on the reefs there and shooting some footage of sponges. And this underwater video thing is very new. I just got a proper underwater housing. So I've shot like a few minutes of video with a camera that was not quite up to the task, but it really got my gears turning. So I'm going to try to get some footage of sponges for sure.
But this is so different. This is you by yourself underwater.
Well, I have to have
images.
A dive buddy, you know. So
well, of course. But I mean, you know, normally most of the things that you're doing are almost, well, is communal the right word? I don't know.
Yeah, I think communal's great.
Yeah.
Cooperative.
I mean, cooperative, communal.
I tend to find a way to work with other people. So whether they wind up being like people on the dive boats or divers or, it does suggest a bit more of a solitary sort of studio-based process, but mm-hmm. I think that maybe gathering some of the footage or asking other people to be in it might feel communal. Mm-hmm. I have...
Well, there's always the sponges.
Yeah, there's always the sponges.
So I noticed on here that you were over in Qatar,
mm-hmm.
and was that over at the university there, or what were you over at the VCU extension there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the VCU Qatar in Education City in Doha. There was a conference last spring. I think I was over there in March, in the middle of March last year.
And over there, was Ruth over there then?
Yes, she was.
She was.
And it was
okay.
There was a Middle Eastern design art and design conference called Tasmim
yes.
Doha.
Yeah.
And so I worked with colleagues over there and actually former colleagues of mine from the textile industry on a cooperative project.
Did you have fun?
I did have fun. I had fun. It was a fast track project, like wheels on the ground on Saturday night, opening in the gallery on Thursday night. So there was fun in there, and there was some serious labor.
Were you doing felt?
We did.
Yeah. So thank you, folks, for listening. We hope to see you on the radio again next Wednesday at 12:30. This is Hugh Joyce and Tim Bowring. Hoping you have a great week. You are listening to WHAN 1430 AM. And 102.9 FM.
Thanks a lot.